Good evening, everybody. We're glad to be back again with you this evening. Thankful to have Brother Johnny and Sister Sandy with us tonight as well. So, Sister Joanne tunes in, she'll know that we missed to call somebody, but on the same hand, it's all right with us having them here. Do want to go to the Lord in prayer tonight and do ask that you remember Kim Cow's sister again. Remember her. Sister Jean also had COVID and pneumonia and is at home on oxygen. So do remember her. I failed to mention her this morning. I apologize for that. So do remember Sister Jean. Also ask that you remember Danny and Kenya's daughter Natalie. Lift her up in prayers if you would. As well, Sister Kenya's work schedule. Remember her so that we can get that right. Sister Don and Brother Sister Barbara and Brother Don Denson, remember to pray for them as well in lifting them up in prayers this evening. So remember all those again on our prayer request list is to lift one another up. I don't remember if we've received any other added to that today. But anyways, do ask that you remember those. Is there any that you know, Brother Johnny, how's your son?
He's doing about the same as far as I know. I haven't heard from him in a few days.
So remember Brother Johnny, Sister Sandy, son Johnny. So remember that in your prayers as well. Jason and Amanda, as they were traveling to get home, just lift them up in prayer. As they were traveling back into Colorado. Also got some co-workers. I forgot this morning. We got some co-workers that are being sent from our area out to Colorado to help there with the aftermath of that wildfire. So remember safety for all those folks out there. And not to mention, I think those last 4,000 homes were burnt in just so a short time. So this time of the year, folks without a place to be. So lift them up as well. With that, tonight we'll go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get into service. Father, thank you, Lord, for your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be in your house, Lord, and for those able to be with us. Dear God, we praise you, Lord, for those who are attending online, Father, or other means. Dear God, we're just so thankful and so grateful, Lord, for the blessings you give us through that. Father, we ask you tonight that you would just anoint and touch each and every heart. God, we ask you that you just be with each life, each soul, dear God, we pray. Father, we pray for those that are lost, dear God, who need you. Father, we pray, Lord, tonight that they would accept you, Lord, and their lives would be changed, dear God. Father, we pray for those that are backslidden, Lord, that they'd remember, dear God, what it is that they've left, Lord, who it is, and, dear God, that they'd come back to you. Lord, I just thank you tonight because of who you are to us and what you mean. I love you, Lord, and I'm just so thankful, Father, to be here. We ask you, Lord, have your way in our hearts and our minds and everything we do and say, let it be for thy glory. Well, thank you and praise you, Father, tonight in Jesus' blessed name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. There you are. I was like, where'd Sis go? Yeah. Sounds like. All right, we'll sing a few songs tonight. Sister Sandy, I looked out there and I was like, where'd Sister go? She was already back up here at the top, 140 in our blue book. Go ahead and turn that microphone on, Sis. Help us out. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus this evening.
Just
page 9-2, the old rugged cross. Kind of feel the theme towards salvation tonight. And so we'll do this one here. Page Sister Sandy sings a song. Let me see. We're going to go to the Bible tonight, just praying about the thought the Lord would let us have. And like I said, it's themed towards, I guess, this evening is salvation. And maybe we're going to go at it just a little bit differently than what most folks would think about in salvation. We're going to start in the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter. We're going to look at the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, and then we're going to go over to the book of Revelations and look and see how that God talks to us. And I would say this, we would look at this as individuals, but also this is more, in my opinion, talking to us in a church setting. And you say, why is that, Brother Arnie? Because, well, he talked about 10 virgins, which meant he was talking to a multitude or about a group. And then in the book of Revelations, he's talking to the churches. So once again, he's addressing more than one person. But it does affect us as individuals in our personal lives. The book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into this. Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. We thank you, dear God, for the blessings you give us, Lord. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity again to be in your house. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. And we ask you, dear God, just anoint and bless it. Help us, Father, to do what you'd have us to do, not, Father, to short you, Father, we pray. Lord, I pray that you just bless those that are here at this time and then at later times too, possibly. And Father, may it be to them, dear God, a call to you. Well, thank you, Lord. We'll praise you in Jesus' blessed name. And amen. Amen. Chapter 25, the book of Matthew, verse 1, says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." I will say this tonight, and I want us to think about this. There are a lot of folks tonight who think that they are ready to meet Jesus if he comes, and it's based solely upon their own thoughts, not necessarily upon the realities of a relationship with God. And this is pointed out in this text here, because he said they was those that took their lamps. 10 of them took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. He said, and five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. He already separated them out. We know that in the Bible that Jesus separates. The Bible says that when comes back, he'll separate the sheep from the goats. He'll separate the people out. He'll do it on a just balance in a just way based upon the criteria of salvation. Today people are trying to separate people by all kinds of things, but one day the separation that will be the vital one will be the separation of the lost and the saved. Then he goes on, he said, and five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. I will say this to you tonight, just thinking about the scriptures that we had this morning. The Bible says that it is a light unto our path. So you might say this, they might have been folks who carried around the Bible there, so to say, but they took no oil. Friend, the oil always represented the Holy Spirit in the Bible. It represented the Holy Ghost. And so they went possibly this way. Jesus said, "These people draw nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And so we have this attitude here. Maybe you could look at it, and maybe these five virgins here, the foolish, were Pharisees type, so to say, trusting in their lineage, trusting in who their daddy was and their granddaddy, not necessarily basing their salvation or their preparation or their facts upon anything other than they could count back. Maybe they were Abraham's seed. So we don't know necessarily where this is coming from, but if we just take all the scriptures to kind of tie it there together, we'll get this in this aspect that there was something missing in their lives. Because they had a lamp, but they had no oil. They had the readiness of mind, but they did not have the readiness of heart. They were not new creatures in Christ Jesus. They were old creatures carrying around something that they needed, but not having what they absolutely needed in this regard. Then he said this, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They didn't go just with one thing. They went with both things. They had both the oil in the lamp. They had both the Holy Spirit, and they also had the Word of God. I would say it in this way. Now they said, while the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. Now think about it this way. You and I tonight will lay our heads down on a pillow. We'll go to sleep. And that slumbering and sleeping, is just kind of this. While we're waiting, we'll take time, I guess you say, some downtime here and there. But anyways, they slumbered and they slept. They were resting. I said, at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps is gone out. I'm going to say this. The Bible says that the Lord said that when we stand in judgment, there'll be many in that day who'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And they'll begin to name off all the things that they did. And they'll say, did we not cast out devils in thy names? And did we not do this in thy name? Friend, I can just think of a few folks right off the top of my head. I'll not name them. How about people today who have made their fame claiming they're doing the work of God? How about the truth of the matter is when it's all said and done, they'll be saying, look what we did. Look what we did. Instead of saying, look what God did. Look what the Lord had done. Friend, but the Bible said that Jesus is saying to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Friend, why? Because they may have had a lamp, but they didn't have no oil. They had a word, so to say, but they didn't have the Spirit of God in their lives. And he said there, but the wise said, answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You might think this, and I'll just be honest with you. I think this verse of Scripture tells us something about what's going to happen in the end time that we maybe there's been some confusion on, and maybe I may be wrong, but I think I just saw something I've never saw before in the Bible, but I think it's right. He said, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward, came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Church, listen to me very carefully this evening. There's a lot of folks who think that there's going to come a time that the church will be raptured out. Whether it has happened premillennial, postmillennial, or amillennial, you can argue that all day long. But there's coming a time when everything's going to end. I personally believe that we'll go through the tribulation unless the Lord takes us out as an individual there. I believe saved folks will be there. You say, why is that, Brother Ernie? Listen to me very carefully. They was 10 of them ready to willing to go, so to say, but only 5 were ready. And when he came and he met, he shut the door, and after that, there was nobody else getting in. It's just like the picture of the ark. God gave a preparation of time for folks to get ready. When they didn't get ready, Noah and his family got on the ark and the door was shut, and that was the end of time. There wasn't an opportunity during a time frame there that God said, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to withdraw my spirit. And when I take it out, though, the rest of you, if you can remember what I said, you'll get saved. That's not found anywhere in the Bible. But friend, let me tell you something. There was 5 wise virgins, and there was 5 foolish virgins. If you go back into the 24th chapter there, it tells us who then is the faithful servant, or wise servant, whom his Lord, when he made him ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season. Blessed the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, so shall find so doing. In other words, when God comes back, it's just like the Scripture says, he's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a church, one without spot and without blemish, one that's ready to go. Now, friend, you'll either be ready to go or you'll be left behind, and there's no other two ways about it. We'll either go with him or we'll be left out, so to say. Now, friend, I'm talking about if you want to believe in the rapture, which I absolutely believe in the book of 2 Thessalonians, it talks about there we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Friend, I believe that, but I believe more than anything that there's no second opportunities once he calls the church out.
How there's no second opportunities there. The end is there. How reading out your Bible. Didn't mean to go that far down into it, but I just want to tell you something tonight. How the church is kind of like this today. How there's some wise folks and there's some foolish folks in the church. And one of these days the bridegroom call is going to come. And when that call comes there, how we'll either be ready to answer or we'll be in trouble there. And I know this tonight. That this is the facts, friend, that the church age today is sitting in a place where they're not convinced that they're any lost inside a church house hardly anymore. The preachers don't say much about sin. I know tonight maybe some people get mad at me because I say so much about it. I declare it every time I can. There's a heaven and there's a hell. You're going to one of the two places. You're not going to escape that, friend. And if you reject Jesus Christ and die in your sin, in hell you'll lift your eyes. That's the only way there is about it tonight. But we find, though, the Bible is telling us throughout all these different passages here, again, this is a message of salvation. He says, be ready for when the bridegroom comes. You need to be ready to go out to meet him. If you're not ready to go out to meet him, when he comes, he's going to come. Those that are wise will be ready. They'll go in, and the rest will be left out. And they can come and knock on the door, and they can say, open to us, and the Lord's going to answer them. Not so. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Church, what a terrible words to hear that the Lord say to you and I is that I know you not. Friend, and then I want to go over to the book of Revelations, the second chapter tonight. I want to show you another picture of the church. When we're talking about salvation, friend, I'm going to tell you something. The church of needs to be saved. The church people need to be right with God. They need to be prepared to meet God. I think we've been going along so well for so long that we've really, in some aspects, lost communication, touch with God. We've lost what it means to be saved. We forgot what it really happened to us. And I've said this before. I know this for myself. If we're not careful, we'll forget what Jesus done when He saved us. He took me out of sin. He took me out of a world of lostness. But more so than this, church, He took me out of the grips of the devil. He delivered me from the chains of darkness. He brought me out of the pathway of hell and set me on the pathway to heaven. There was something different that God done to me. And I don't want to get like the church in Ephesus here. I don't want to be like the five foolish virgins there. Friend, I don't want to be just carrying around my Bible, carrying around a little head knowledge there. I want to be walking, the Bible says, in the Spirit of the Lord. So he said in the second chapter, in the first verse, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and he puts a comma there. I've read this for a lot of times, and I say this a lot, but I want you to understand something. When the Lord tells you he knows, he knows. He knows absolutely everything there is to know. And he said, I know thy works, friend. That ought to make us think for a minute, okay, what have I been doing? What have I not been doing? Am I ready? Am I not ready? Am I prepared? Am I not prepared? God knows my works. Then he goes on, he said, and thy labors. Friend, he knows how much effort we put into things too. Can you imagine this tonight? That a lot of folks put a lot of time and effort into a lot of things, but they don't put much time or effort into their salvation. They don't put much time or effort into serving God or to call on His name, to lift Him up or to praise Him, to honor Him. Friend, they don't put a whole lot of time reading His Word. It's like I said this morning, and talking about Sheffy, the pastor there, he was peculiar because he spent so much time praying there. And how dare a man spend 2 hours on the side of the road praying, they said. But listen to me. The reason why he spent 2 hours praying is because he needed the strength to go on and do what he was doing. And he knew that. And so think about it this way. How much time do I spend investing in my Lord, in our relationship? How much labor is there involved in serving God? Does it mean anything to me? I'll be honest with you. Friend, sometimes you can go out and you can work and work and work, and this old world world. And at the end of the day, you look back and you say, wow, oh, that looks pretty good. I think I accomplished something. And then there's other times when you do the same thing and you look back and you go, wow, oh, what did I get done? It doesn't look like I did anything. When this walk of life is over, though, I want to be able to say this, that I spent my time doing what I could for the Lord and I did the best. I labored on there. And you say, Brother Arnie, do you truly think you've done your best? Friend, I'm telling you the truth tonight. No, I don't. But I'm hoping that I'll get better as I go along and I'll do better so that I can say when I die, I put my best foot forward. I've done everything that I could. And you say, well, Brother Arnie, you think that'll save you? Absolutely not. That ought to save me. But it has shown that I is not a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And I've done it all because I know that my God done everything for me. He loved me so much. He sent His word to live and to die here, friend, Jesus Christ, to tell me how that I ought to live. And then He goes on. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Friend, patience worketh experience, the Bible says, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. If we think about what He said in the book of Romans there, He's knowing that we'll be patient. Here's the problem some folks get. They don't know what patience is. See, patience is faith. Staying the course, holding on, going forward, not letting down. But some folks think patience is sitting back, doing nothing. Friend, sitting back, doing nothing is not patience, it's laziness. That's the difference there. Patience is faith. It's still doing what God would have you to do, knowing that while you're doing it, your labor and your work is for the Lord and everything that you're doing. And we're just patiently, you might say this, patiently tilling the ground, waiting for the Lord to come. Now, friend, but while we're doing that, let's be honest about it. He goes on, he says, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. In other words, this church, he's saying that you also know those that are around you. You know what they are and what they're not. Thessalonians said, know them which labor amongst you and over you and admonish you in the Lord. In other words, we ought to know those around about us. And I'll say this too. We ought to know our preachers. We ought to know our pastors. We ought to know those that are called in this aspect. And then he goes on, he said, you found them liars. In other words, you know the true and you know the liars. Going on, verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience and hast for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. That's pretty good. We're going on there. He's saying you kept it up. You kept going. You kept saying, you know what? I believe I'm going to do this. Then he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Church, listen to me. You can do everything saying that you do it in the name of Jesus. But if you forget to do it for Jesus, by Jesus, of Jesus, because of Jesus, and only in that, you'll lose off losing your first love. You'll change everything over. Now it's no longer doing it all for Him, but doing for yourselves there. I say this, you can get so ritualistic that you forget what it is that you're supposed to be doing this way too. You can get up in the morning, you can get dressed, you can go to work, you can come home, and at the end of the day, you sit back and you say, well, I'll have to do it again tomorrow, and you do it again tomorrow. But serving Jesus is not like that. We ought to wake up thanking the Lord that we're able to get up. We ought to wake up thanking, Lord, what can I do, and where can I go, what can I say? Lord, how do I need to pray today? These things here. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whom which thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. I'm going to tell you something, church. When you read in the Bible there, the candlesticks represented the Spirit of God. And I don't want God's Spirit to be removed from our church. I don't want God's Spirit to be removed from myself. I don't want to lose sight of the things that God would have us to do and what He'd have us to be. But I want us to get this right tonight. Friend, let's not be ritualistic in anything, but let's be servants, true servants, honoring servants, holy servants, the Bible says. Be that which we ought to be for the name of Christ, for His cause, and for His kingdom. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. The reason I said it this morning, I'll say it again tonight. Friend, I realized the weather was cold. I wasn't real sure about the roads on the way down here. Friend, we crossed over a few bridges there that I thought, well, maybe we ought to turn around because they look like they might be getting slick. But then this, I thought, this is the first Sunday of the 2022 year. I want to be in the house of God. I want to stand and proclaim Jesus Christ to those round about us. I don't want the year 2022 to start off with me not being in the house of God. I want to be here. And so I'd made up my mind when I sent out the text that said no in-person service, that you would know this tonight, that I didn't expect folks to show up with it being so cold, and didn't know the news kept saying it was snowing down here, and I didn't see anything. They never showed any pictures down here, but I thought, well, I'm not going to tell the folks they have to come out this morning, but I'll go down there. And so here we are, and here we are tonight again and doing this because I want to know that, I want the Lord to know that I put my best foot forward in the starting off the 2022 year. I want him to know that I want to be in the house of God. I want to be around His people. I want to see Him do something. I want God's work to be done in my life and in the church life that we have down here in this year. I want God to do great and wonderful things. Friend, and you say, what would you want? You want? That's right. If I set my heart on the things of God, I want to see God do great and wonderful things. We need to remember who it is we're supposed to be loving, and remember it is who it is we're supposed to be working for, and do those things. And if we do those things, friend, we'll be all right. But he said, remove verse 6, but this thou hast, that thou hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and to him that overcometh. Friend, let me tell you something this evening. We ought to be overcomers. He said, I will give thee to the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Can I tell you something this evening? I want you to think about that 7th verse there. God said something there that is very, very important. When you go back into the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve were chased out of the Garden of Eden. They ate of the tree of knowledge. They ate of the tree of good and wrong. And friend, let me say this. God chased them out of the Garden of Eden. He set a fiery serpent there to guard the tree of life. He said, lest they should eat it and live forever. One of these days, by the grace of God, you and I will be able to go into His presence, and in His presence is the tree of life still there in paradise. And look at what He said there. I will give to eat of the tree of life. He's going to open it up for those who serve Him and love Him and walk with Him, and we'll get to eat of that tree. You think it was good there, Adam and Eve? The Bible says Eve saw that the fruit was good to look on. One pleased to the eyes. When she ate, she gave it to Adam. In other words, it must have tasted good. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. Then the fruit of the tree of life tastes better than the tree of knowledge there. And you say, why is that, Brother Ernie? Because God always saves the best for last, does He not? I mean, just think about it in this way. But then you go over to the 3rd chapter of the book of Revelation. We'll cover the last church, starting in the 14th verse there. And it said, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Again, here we go, church. Listen to me now. He said to the first church, He said, I know thy works. He says to the last church, I know thy works. He knows all about us. Again, Matthew chapter 24 said that we need to be about the doing what God would have us to do. He said, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Church, again, let me tell you something. These are folks who think they got it right, but they're in trouble there. The first church forgot their first love. They were doing a good job. They were working hard, so to say. But they forgot why. They forgot how. That wasn't in their hearts any longer, what the truth of it was. And friend, I say this to you and I. Again, we need to remember what God done for us when He saved us. Again, He delivered us out of the clutches of the devil. He set us on a road to heaven and took us off the pathway of hell. He turned me about. He done a 180 in my life, not a 360. He didn't turn me around and send me back the same path. He done a 180 in my life, and therefore I'm on a new track there. He said He created in me a new man after the image of Christ Jesus there. A friend, but anyways, He said, I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Look what he said there. He said, going back into the first one there, first church there, remember therefore from which thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repents. He threatened to tell him these things there, friend. Now listen to me now. Here he says, because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Friend, I don't want to be spit up of God. I want to be accepted and held on to. Friend, I don't want him to say to me, and you think about it this way, when he says, spew thee out of my mouth, what did he tell the five foolish? He said, I know you not. Why did he tell all of them through the scripture there when they come? He said, cast them out into outer darkness, where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. What are those words that he's going to spew us out? He's going to say, I know you not. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And then verse 17, he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased of goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Do you realize tonight, church, when we look at ourselves, we always see, friend, the things we want to see that are good, and we have a hard time seeing the bad things. Then when we look at the bad things, typically it's not about our character, it's about our flesh, how we look in the flesh. I can think about it this way. I stepped on the scale this morning, and I weighed 217 pounds. And I told my wife, I said, I put on almost every bit of weight that I've lost over these years. Friend, I can see in the mirror that I don't look like I did not very long ago. But here's the fact, we always gripe about it, but we do very little to correct it sometimes. But we have a hard time, it seems like, looking at our spiritual lives in the same sense that we do our fleshly lives. Instead, we'll look at ourselves, we'll say, well, I'm doing pretty good. And the Bible said there, because thou sayest, I'm rich. Friend, let me tell you something. You can have all the money you want in the banking account. Doesn't mean nothing for your soul. He said, increased with goods. You can look around and think, well, you know what? If the world shuts down, I can live at least 30 days without some food. I've got enough stored up. He goes on, though, and says, have need of nothing. Friend, let me tell you something. I don't care how much is in your banking account. I don't care how much is in your food cupboard. You always have need of Jesus. And that's the problem we have today. People got so much they don't think they need Jesus anymore. And they think, well, I've got enough of Jesus. You can't have enough of Jesus. You can't store enough of Jesus. He ain't something you can put in your checking account and look at later on and say, you know what, I've got enough. I think I'll retire now. Friend, you can't do that with Jesus, but I think we are today. Folks are checking out because they think they got enough of Jesus. Friend, they're becoming foolish virgins here instead of the wise ones there. They're not prepared to meet the Lord. There's coming a time when they'll wake up and they'll say, Lord, Lord, open. He'll say, I know you're not. Friend, I'm afraid the church is living in a day and age when they don't really realize who they're in, who they're even serving in some aspects. But then he says this, having need of nothing and knowest not. They don't even know that they're wretched. They don't know that they're miserable. They don't know that they're poor, and they don't know that they're blind, and they don't know that they're naked. You say, Brother Herney, I've got clothes. I can see. I'm not poor. I've got money, and I'm pretty happy in the circumstances that I'm in. Friend, but let me tell you something. When you're so satisfied with your physical self that you can't see your spiritual self, you're wretched. You're wretched there. But then the other side of that is you don't realize how miserable you are. Miserable people are always trying to find a way to fill their misery, to change their misery. And they oftentimes think that more goods in this world, or more money, or more pleasures in this world will take away the misery. But misery will not be diminished by life fleshly pleasures. Misery is only satisfied when it's done away with by the Spirit of God, the blood of God. I'm going to tell you something. When I start getting miserable about the things I can't do, friend, the Lord just comes back to me and says, well, brother, why don't you spend a little extra time my way? Friend, quit being so miserable there. Then we realize this, that we may not be poor financially, but we end up being poor spiritually. In other words, we ain't got enough spiritualness in us to do what Peter and John done when they was walking in the temple. We read about this morning there, when they looked on the man who said at alms, And looking on them, they thought he thought they'd receive something. Peter said, "A silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of the Lord. Arise up and walk." And the Bible says he reached out his hand, and the man reached out and immediately grabbed him, and he stood up. His ankle bones, his leg bones were strengthened so much that he went leaping and dancing through the temple of God, giving glory to God. How miserable or how poor are we? We don't have enough spiritualness in us sometimes that when a lost person comes in the door, that they walk out of here saved. Or better, if they leave here unsaved, do they leave here miserable because they've been convicted of their sin? Friend, I'm just telling you, the church is in trouble in a lot of ways. He said they're blind because they don't even see their need. They don't realize their condition. They're naked, friend, because God sees everything. Friend, let me tell you, God sees it all. We don't realize that. We think we got it covered up pretty good, but God sees everything. God's not worried about the nakedness of my flesh. He is absolutely worried about the nakedness of my soul. Folks, therein lies a big difference there. And when so we go on, he said in verse 18, he said, "I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." You want to be rich, you better have real gold. And I'll say something else. Real gold is not the world of gold. It's not the wedge of gold. It's the goldenness of God. Friend, I'll just be honest with you tonight. Buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. He said in the book of Isaiah, "Come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Friend, let me tell you something there. You want some white raiment, you got to go and get the best dry cleaner or best bleach person or however you want to look at it tonight to get it. But I say this, I go down to the store, I bought me a white shirt, I brought it home, I wore it one time, it was no longer white. What are you saying, Brother Ernie? Friend, when I wore it, I got a little neck dirt on it. I mean, a little sweat there around the collar there. I remember one time, I don't even know what we washed it with, but I know it was washed with care, but it ended up with a little blue spot on it. Something happens along the way. Something, I can't get white raiment that stays white. It always gets a spot some way, somehow. The only way to get a white raiment that's pure white, that's holy white, and that is through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. So buy me and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with a high salve, that thou mayest see. We need to be anointed, friend, tonight with the Holy Spirit of God. He said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." God calls His children to repentance. You realize that this message is onto the church, and we all the time saying, "Well, sinners need to repent." But God was telling the church to repent. He said in the book of Peter, he said, "Time that judgment must begin." And it must begin where? At the house of God. God is talking to the people of His, telling us that we need to be right and we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And if we're right, ready, and prepared, we'll be helping others get right, ready, and prepared. How do you know, Brother Ernie? Because David said after that God would clean him up, he said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto you." We can't get God's will done, or can't get lost or saved until the will of God is done in our own lives, and that we're right and ready and prepared for the Lord to do a work in us. Then he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and have sat down at the right, sat down with my Father in His throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I'm just telling you tonight, church, you and I have not overcome yet, friend, but we are serving and walking with, if we are saved, the overcomer, the one who can overcome. I'm still in this world. He said, "I'm not of this world," because I've given my life to Jesus. I'm just doing, striving to do my best. And here it is, in the end of it, church, I'm going to say this. If you want to set something as a desire in your heart for this year and the things to follow, set it this way, that you become the best child of God that you can be by serving Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind. and that you love Him in this manner there, then you will be an overcomer. You'll be one who's ready. Friend, and let me say this, we'll be ready for those who may walk through the church door who are lost for them to get saved. Be ready. To help those who have gone astray to return unto the Father. And we'll help encourage one another to stay the course and to keep the faith until this walk of life is over. I'm just telling you tonight, I love the Lord and I want Him to do a work in me. I want Him to be glorified, honored, and praised. And if He can do that in my life and do that in your life, we'll have a successful year here, whether it be 2 days, 3 days, or a whole year. Doesn't matter. It'll be success because God is had His way in our lives. And for that tonight, I give God glory and I give God praise. If you would, this evening, let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again tonight, Lord, we love You and we praise You, God. Lord, we're thankful for You and all that You do. God, You know tonight, Father, our heart. You know our minds, dear God. You know our needs. And Lord, tonight, we just trust in You to have Your way. Lord, I pray if there be one lost, dear God, might hear this, Lord, that they be saved. Father, if there be one backslidden, dear God, that they return and come back to You, Lord. Father, that every child of God would be strengthened, challenged, dear God. Help us to encourage one another, precious God. Father, we may not have a whole year. We may not have a whole week, a whole month, or a whole week, or not even the whole day. But, dear God, what time we got, Lord, help us, Father, to be right with Thee and be a witness for Thee. And so we ask You, Lord, now again this evening, let Your will be done, Your name be glorified, and may we give You praise in Jesus' blessed, blessed name, in His name, and amen. Amen. Tonight, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your attention tonight. We pray God would bless and keep you safe, and also pray that you'd be back with us, Lord willing, on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We will be live one way or the other. If we're live, anyways, we'll do our best in that regard. But do be mindful of that. God bless you. God love you. We'll see you again.